funny. I am a, if you're a little confused as to where I'm standing, then that's okay. Just keeping you on your toes. I'm going to switch around every week. Just be down here, then over there, then back there, then over here, just to see if you can. That's right. That's right. There is reason for it, but I want to first just thank all you CTKers who poured so much into your life into this week to bless Linda and the family and honor Father Ralph and bring glory to God. And you did very well. And I'm very proud of you. Just thank God for your service and your faithfulness. And all hail Matthew. And you may not know what that means, but deep inside of me and Rosemary, we know what that means, don't we, Rosemary? Okay. Andrew, you want to pray for me? You look prayerful.
Lord, thank you for today. I ask that you would just prepare our hearts to hear the word the bishop has. Lord, just we love you and thank you for all that you do for us, God. Bless you and honor you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, we'll continue to share today just about looking at what our footstool time should look like. Again, in the Psalms, it says that we're to worship Him at His footstool. And in language that some of us are more used to, your quiet time, your prayer life, that place where you get along with God. Our mandate from the Lord is for us to become a people who live a first commandment life, to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the foundation of that, it's not all that's involved, but the foundation of that is finding the secret place for yourself. The Song of Solomon chapter 2, our beloved causes us to rise up and come along and to find the secret place where a dove's life is cultivated. And that secret place is that place where you, again, get with Him and spend time with Him, where you have that Mary Magdalene anointing, where you sit at His feet and behold His face and hear His voice. Because unless you cultivate that, unless you find the secret place for yourself, the secret place that God's called us all to find in our own lives and our own situation in life, unless you do that, then you'll never, ever, ever consistently live a growing and expanding First Commandment life. And that First Commandment involves, as you remember, a promise. You shall love the Lord your God. That's a promise. It's a prophetic promise. And so the Holy Spirit will teach us how to cultivate a secret place experience. And so what we've been doing for a while now is just kind of looking at that and God's calling to us to abide in the secret place, to find that as our real nesting place. And what I've been doing in the last couple of weeks is looking at Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 and using that as a launching pad to kind of share with you what you should expect, kind of to raise our level of expectation. Because one of the things that I've talked about is that prayer or footstool time, again, John, in John chapter 4, it says that the Father is looking for true worshipers. He's looking for true adorers. He's looking for people who love Him. And worship, again, is much more than just singing songs and praising, though that's an expression. God's looking for a people who have a worshiping heart, who have a rended heart, whose heart has been harvested by God and plundered by the Lord. And you have this adoration spirit about you, this adoration anointing about you at all times. And that's, again, cultivated primarily in the secret place. But many people don't spend time alone with the Lord because their concept that the enemy, who's a thief, who comes to kill, steal, and to destroy, one of the things he's come to destroy is the fascination of what it's like to spend time alone with the Lord. There has to be this one thing commitment. We referred to this yesterday. A lot of things I'm going to say in the next few weeks are going to mirror things that I've said about Father Ralph and his experience now in heaven. Because the secret place, as we saw last week, and we'll see it again in just a minute, is a call up to experience heaven. to literally experience heaven. But because we have these fallen filters living in the flesh, it's kind of like heaven light. What Ralph is experiencing is heaven full, with fullness. But what you'll discover is that as you spend more and more time in the secret place, as you kind of walk through the wardrobe and you enter into that Narnia environment, in that secret place environment, which is heaven, it so cultivates your heart. It's so, with the beauty of the Lord, you become so fascinated and enthralled and smitten with the beauty of the Lord that you begin to long more and more and more to experience that face to face without the filters, to not just know heaven light. So this is an amazing connection. So in Revelation chapter 4, let's read these verses to you again. And we're going to be launching from there into chapter 5 and other places. And so we're going to just not do an endless sort of study of all this, but we're going to meander in these places for the next couple of weeks, or more than a couple of weeks, but probably a couple of months. Because I'm wanting you to get a glimpse, to get sort of an overview of what you should expect so that your faith level is raised. David's one thing commitment, again, I know you've heard this so many times, but you'll keep hearing it again and again. Because a secret place life is nurtured by one thing commitment. This one thing I'll ask, at the top of my prayer list, above everything else, the thing that's most important to me in all of life, the one thing, David said. Now he's 60 years old, just a few years before his death when he makes that statement. And he's had failures in his life, but the one thing David did have was a heart after God. When it was all said and done, he looked back over his life. It's been 20 or 30 years since his terrible failure. He's saying, I can say this about my life. It's one thing I've asked, that I shall continue to seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will live in close proximity to the presence of the Lord, and I will behold His beauty, and I will inquire of Him. He said, I want to spend the rest of my life and all of eternity beholding His beauty, and He and I just talking about what I'm beholding. Just this relationship. And Revelation 4:1. After these things I looked, behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. And immediately I was in spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and the one sitting on the throne. And he was sitting, who was sitting was like a jasper stone and like a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones. Upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceed flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And just like a couple of minute overview, last week one of the things we said is that lovers are lookers. He says here, I looked. After these things I looked, and behold, people who have a one thing commitment are always looking for Him. Not only in every situation and circumstance, but every opportunity to spend time alone with Him. That verse in Song of Solomon that we talked about last week, Chapter 3, I must seek the one whom my soul loves. When your heart gets stirred up and your heart gets fascinated with His presence and with His beauty, His radiance and His glory, your heart gets stirred up to the place where your heart is set on pilgrimage. And you're always looking for an opportunity because you must seek the one whom your soul loves. The other thing that we said is there was a door standing open. A door that Jesus is accessible. He longs for us. He longs for us to spend time with Him. There's this door always open, always standing, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. If your need is for mercy, that door is always there. If it's for insight and wisdom, if it's just for fellowship, that door is always standing open. Jesus said He was the door. He identifies Himself in chapter 1 of the book of the Revelation as the voice. He's the voice. He's the communicator. It's the longing of His heart to spend time with us. He said in that Song of Solomon passage that speaks about the secret place, he says, your voice is sweet, and just the sight of you is lovely to me. And then he says here, there's this door that's standing open, and it's open in heaven. And this is what we talked about last week, and I mentioned just a few minutes ago. Whenever you spend time alone with the Lord, you're lifted up into heaven. Our expectations are so low that we're just consumed with the list and the things that we do. And lists can fit into what we do, so we stay ordered, but we're actually being drawn into heaven. And your expectation level, just like in the Scripture, when Jesus would say he can only do a few small miracles because of their unbelief. Well, your expectation level is usually going to get met almost every single time. And if your expectation level is raised, and this is really one of the things I'm trying to accomplish in this, that I believe God, the Holy Spirit, is wanting to accomplish through our time together in the Word, is to raise your expectation level, to stir you up, to arouse your heart, to think, oh my goodness, Lord, oh God, if that's what you're waiting for me, if that's what you're really offering me, if the secret place is this walking through this wardrobe is actually heaven. Now, it may be heaven light because we see through a glass darkly. But let me tell you what, heaven light is better than anything you'll ever experience in full on this earth. So get that down in your heart that He's inviting you up every time you spend time with Him. If it's just 5 minutes, it's just 5 minutes on the other side of the wardrobe. It changes the way you think about everything and see everything. He speaks to you mouth to mouth. He breathes life into you. We live by the words that proceed from the mouth of God. And so be stirred up. Raise your level of expectation. You say, well, Bishop, I don't always sense those things or see those things. Well, you're seeing things through a veil. But expect them. Understand, even if you can't see them, those are the things that are around you. That's the environment. That's the beauty realm of God. You'll hear charismatic people talk about those experiences in their life when they had throne room experiences, third heaven experiences with the Lord. Let me just say to you, every time you simply spend moments alone with the Lord, you're lifted up into the throne room environment, into the third heavens. Even if you can't see it, it's there. So know it. And from your knowing will then develop into a seeing, even though it's just glimpses of all that's going on around you in the beauty realm of God. Amen? So that's where we stopped last week. So I want to go to sort of move forward a little bit and talk about some of the things that you can expect in that realm. What you should expect in your time alone with the Lord in the secret place. That secret place, he says, secret place of the steep pathway. It's your own personal place. Remember again, a year or so ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, we talked about it from Psalm 27. It's there that God lifts your head up above the enemies. It's there that you become an overcomer. It's in the secret place where God cultivates an overcomer's life in you and me. He talks about that in verse 21 of chapter 3, just previously. He says, and he who overcomes. And over again, when he speaks to the churches, he speaks to them and he says, he who overcomes, he who overcomes, he who overcomes. John speaks about being an overcomer in chapter 5 of 1 John. So it's in the secret place where God cultivates, where God develops an overcomer life in each of us. Amen? And so if you're tired of always being overcome by circumstances and situations and your moods and your personality type, then respond to the Lord's calling to come up. Because it's there that an overcomer's life is developed. And so what I want to do is just give you a glimpse, just some overview things of what you can expect God to do, what you can expect to encounter when you walk through that open door, even if it's for a few minutes a day. Because what I don't want you to do is feel guilty. Well, Bishop, you get to spend all this time with the Lord and all this kind of thing. When you have all these responsibilities, God knows that. Let me just say to you, 5 minutes in heaven, even if it's heaven light, light can alter your life forever. The beauty of the Lord can transform your personality. Do you understand that? You don't have to be imprisoned to your personality type. You won't become some other person, but your person and your own personality can be transformed by the personality of God. Haven't you hung out with somebody before who's had just an electrifying, amazing personality? And it just altered your behavior, altered your mood. Well, those kind of things happen in your footstool time. So I want to give you just a glimpse of some things and just kind of take our time with it, not get in a hurry. And because we'll be together again next week and the 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 next week. And also just to connect you to people like those people that we love here, people that you know who have gone before us, and they've gone through the open door, and for them the door has been shut behind them. That all the things that I'm going to describe to you are things that go on without filters in heaven. But I believe all those things that go on in heaven go on in our own experience of the Lord, and particularly in our secret place, even if it's light. Alrighty? First thing that I think that are, well, at least one thing that you can expect as you walk through the open door, as God develops, where He develops in you the life of an overcomer, as you encounter, and this was where everything, I guess, must start, you encounter His presence, His beauty, and His personality. And you don't have to turn to these places. I got them marked, all these little cute little plastic things I got them marked with. And this is God responding to Israel after these years of captivity in Babylon, returning after their season of discipline. And they're returning to the Lord, and they're beginning to cry out for Him again. And it just stirs His heart. And it says this in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 13, or verse 12. And the Lord will possess Judah as His portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. See, this whole thing about you're spending time alone with Him, we're His inheritance. He's not just ours. And He's chosen you, and He's chosen me as His portion. And that Song of Solomon verse, again, He says, when you come into the secret place, He says, your voice is sweet, your form, your appearance is lovely. That word, again, means home. He said, I feel so at home with you here. You're so at home here. This is home for us. And He says, be silent, verse 13, all flesh before the Lord. For He is aroused, He is stirred, He is awakened and moved, is what that word means in Hebrew, from His holy habitation. Whenever people respond to His longing for them to long for Him, it causes the heart of God to be stirred. It causes His personality to be aroused and to come forth. There are several places in Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, that speak to us things about His personality. And there's so much that we don't have time to do it all today, of course. We'll be talking about it forever. But like in Exodus 19, it describes God's personality with the words like lightning, peals of thunder, sounds that are unutterable, that almost represent every sound you could ever imagine, all through this voice, an earthquake. Now in that place in Exodus 19 is talking about when God is on Mount Zion, or Mount Sinai, and His presence is manifested there. So it doesn't have any relationship to His throne, because the other places where those kind of references are made are speaking about His throne. So in this place, He stepped down into human experience, and He's on that mountain. There's this cloud, and I hear the sounds of thunder, peals of thunder, and these sounds, these unutterable sounds, and lightning flashes, and things tremble because of this earthquake of God's presence. You see, I believe that's an expression of God's aroused personality, of the Lord's aroused personality in response to giving the law to Moses, in His response to coming so close to His people. In Revelation chapter 8, it says in verse 6, and it said, the angel took the censer, and he filled it with the fire of the altar, and he threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 19, And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was open, and the ark of His covenant appeared in His temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. And then chapter 16, verse 18, this is after the seventh bowl, the last bowl, the last judgment is released. And remember that judgments are about not God's rejection, but it's about a zealous God who's now jealous and longing for humanity to long for Him. So He comes in judgment out of jealous love to remove all hindrances to human beings loving Him, to give them every chance, to stir them up, to shake them up, to remove things from them that would get in the way between Him and them, to give them every opportunity to love Him back. And so this seventh bowl is released. And the Lord says in verse 18, or verse 17, let me just read this to you. The angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, this is God going, it's done! This is my last effort. It's not like a word of anger. It's done. I've done everything I can to reach out, to shake up, to stir up, to remove, to provoke the hearts of people to mourn for me and long for me. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder. There was a great earthquake, such as there has not been since man was upon the earth. Great earthquake was it, and so mighty. And in all those places I read to you from Exodus chapter 19, from the places in Revelation 8, Revelation 11, this book, Revelation 16, all speak of these moments like the ark stirred God's heart up because it just is this reminder of God's covenant love and His presence among His people. This place where the bowl is poured out, His heart says, it's done, it's done. My heart's reaching out to you, it's done. In chapter 8, in response to the prayers of people, and those prayers cast back down, which we'll see in the weeks to come, just our calling to co-labor with Him in the government of human history and time and eternity. Amazing! As the bride of Christ, in response to our prayers, His heart is stirred, His emotions, His personality come forth. And this last one that I read to you, this in this chapter, verse chapter 4, John responds to the calling. He hears His voice. He turns. He walks through the open door. And he begins to see these things in his footstool time. And like I said to you a few weeks ago, what if this isn't just a book about things are going to happen at the end? This is also a revelation of a 90-something-year-old man's walk with the Lord and what his time alone with the Lord looked like and how he experienced all the time. Even though he was given fresh insight in this experience into what God was going to be doing with human history, this is just quiet time for John. He's known this before, this disciple whom Jesus was always loving, this prisoner, this volunteer prisoner of the love of Christ, this bondservant of the Lord, that's what that is. This is just him revealing to us seeing insight into a man's time with God. He wasn't in some trance here. He was in the Spirit in chapter 1. He's just walking along, living life in chapter 1. And he says he hears His voice. He was in the Spirit. Here it says he's in the Spirit because he moves up into the presence of God, which we'll talk about again in the weeks to come. This is just John being alone with the Lord. This is what you and I can expect. This is what you and I should expect at a growing level as we spend time with God in the secret place. And it says that he comes and he walks through this open door and God begins to speak to him. And he said, he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and sardius in appearance. It was like a rainbow around the throne. It's a big circle, like emerald in appearance. And what he's talking about, again, the jasper is like a diamond. It refers to that in chapter 22, like this brilliant diamond. It kind of reveals to us, what does he look like? He looks like holiness and radiance and this glory that has all these prisms that have different looks, different sights. He's sardius. I mentioned that earlier when the service first started. It's this fiery red color. It speaks about how he feels, his personality, that God is full of passion. There's this storm of passion around Him. He's a God of wholeheartedness. There's nothing passive about Him. He's a God of holy desires. Song of Solomon 7:10 says, I am my beloved's, and His desire is for me. It's not some benevolent, passive, namby-pamby desire. It's from the one who's like Sardius stone, who's wholehearted, who wants to awaken us for Him to be a wholehearted people. How many times does it say that in Scripture? If you'll love me with all your heart, if you'll seek me with all your heart, God wants a wholehearted people because He's a wholehearted God. And there's this rainbow, like emerald, rainbow that's a circle. It's really not a bow. It's like the word is actually halo. It's around the throne. It's emerald in color, which speaks of evergreen, everlasting, rainbow covenant. How He acts, just His covenant love. When you get in His presence, you see His glory. You experience His wholeheartedness, His passion, and His holy desire. And you sit in the presence of His covenant love that's everlasting. It's like a bow that goes on to a circle. They're only bows to us. We've mentioned this before. They're only bows to us because the earth gets in the way. But if you were to be elevated out of space, you'd see they're circles. They're not bows at all. They have no beginning, no end. And God's covenant, steadfast love for you and me has no beginning and has no end. It'll never change. And then He says this. And from the throne, in verse 5, proceed flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now here we have this other example, this fifth example of His personality being aroused, His personality being stirred, like Zechariah says. And it's manifested, and it seems like lightning, peals of thunder, sounds, hailstone, earthquake causes trembling. What is that about? Now hear this, because this so provokes my heart. So stirs up my heart. This is the ravished heart of God manifested. With a single glance of my eye, it says I ravish His heart. And in this situation, why does it manifest? We saw that it manifests on the mountain when the ark is revealed, the result of prayers. When the last bowl is poured out, what's causing God's personality to be so aroused to come forth? John's presence. John walked through the door. He entered into the secret place. And God loves us so much. He's the voice. He's the door. He's the word. He's the one who wants the relationship with us. His presence is so enthralling to us. But what's so amazing to me, what's so hard for us to understand, as He's enthralled with your presence. He loves you that much. Of course He is. He's God, the God of love. He's not passive like you and I are. He doesn't get temperamental in the sense that we get temperamental moods and pout. He's always. Do you think that even though His heart might be broken, even though it may be in the context of Him disciplining us in the judgment of love, do you think it doesn't thrill Him when we walk through the door of the secret place with sin to come before Him to lay the sin at His feet? You don't think that thrills Him? Doesn't it thrill you as a parent when you've been trying to get one of your children to get it and they just don't get it? So finally you put a little hedge of thorns around them and they start to get it and they come before you and they go, Dad, Mom, I just really need to talk to you. I've been really wrong. And I need you to forgive me. You don't think that doesn't thrill your heart? Yeah. Of course it thrills His heart. Even when we bring sin. This is the personality of God coming forth. And when you spend time in the secret place, every time, be aware, be alerted to the fact that you should expect to encounter that environment of the personality of the Lord. Of sardius, and jasper, and rainbows, peals of thunder, and lightning flashes, and sounds that are unutterable, and earthquakes. It'll just shake everything in your life. It'll cause you to tremble with gladness and joy and holy fear. A longing to obey with delight in your heart. Do you think that you know certain people whose personality is infectious, that you love to be around? You get in the secret place, in the place of heaven, and you get around the personality of God, the personality of Jesus, and it'll rock your world forever. You end up just wanting to go and be there because you just love being with Him, because His personality is so powerful, so moving, so stirring, so fascinating, so provoking. That's prayer. That's quiet time. Like I've said 1,000 times, there's nothing quiet about it. That's what every one of us should expect. Amen. Let's stop there. We're just going to take our time in this journey. And we're going to be here until Jesus comes back, because I have a bunch of other things to say. I'll get 2 or 3 done today. We got 1 done today. But let's just go home and focus on that. Ponder that. Think about that. You know, again, this is what Father Ralph is experiencing now. And we get to experience the same thing. Our time alone with the Lord is up there in the realm of God's glory. It may be light, but it's liberating. It's transforming. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.